Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the Amazon Prime exclusive Invincible, the animated series, of course, based off of Robert Kirkman's Invincible comics from Image, released in the early aughts. Of course, to my co-host, Andy from Saskatoon.
Good evening.
It's also Red, with us is Red Ink.
What's up?
So, Invincible. I don't know where my expectations were, honestly. They weren't through the roof. I wasn't trying to hype this up in my brain simply because because, as Red puts it, most studios know how to make a damn good trailer.
It's called a golden trailer.
Yeah.
If you're able to, if you have the skills to do it, studios will hire you all the time.
Like, a good example of this is, and this is the only time I'm going to mention this damn thing, is Man of Steel had one early trailer that was almost Richard Donner-esque. And that was not the movie we fucking got.
The perfect example, I would say, is the Suicide Squad trailer.
The one that was like, so different that they hired the guys who made the trailer to recut the movie.
Yes.
Oh, good. I thought you were talking about that roll call trailer they released last year at the virtual DC fandom thing.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the...
I know what you're talking about.
One with the Queen song.
Yep. Yeah.
But anyways, Invincible. My expectations were not excellent, but I didn't think I was going to hate it either. I just was like, I want to see what this is. I want to see if it's going to be super duper faithful or if it's going to take some liberties. And I watched it and I liked it. I liked it a lot. J.K. Simmons as Omni-Man, I at first thought that was stunt casting because he's hot shit right now. He's been hot shit for the last 5 years, honestly. But he does a damn good job. Pretty much all the voices do damn good jobs. I mean, the only one that I might have a complaint for is Rex, but he does a good job sounding like a douchebag, so I don't know if that's exactly a bad thing.
No, that's pretty much in line with how the character was portrayed in the comic series.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Mantzoukas, who voiced Rex, I don't know if I heard him quite that whiny, sarcastic when I first read the comics, but...
he's doing a T.J. Miller impression.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because T.J. Miller is currently canceled, so...
Ah. But the point remains is I was pleasantly surprised by it, and I genuinely liked it. And I love the Invincible series through most of it. There are rough patches in it. The series meanders a bit, and there's definitely the... As Red puts it, the Walking Dead cutoff point where you can tell that the Kirkman's focuses are elsewhere.
Shifted.
Yes. And overall, still, it's still a damn good pickup series the whole way through.
Yeah.
Except for the reboot arc, but that's another story. But overall, I feel like this is good. This is good. And they move things around a bit. Not only to tell a better story, but also to create the most impact you need. The most blatantly obvious change he made was the whole Guardians of the Globe protecting the White House at the opening, because in the comics we only get introduced to the Guardians literally 5 seconds before they get horribly speed blitz murdered.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really like you said before, like there are certain things changed. And not just for the sake of the narrative, just, you know, it just flows better overall when you look at it from these first three episodes, which is something I really love with Amazon, because they did that with The Boys. I think it was the second season. I forget if they did with the first season of The Boys, where they dropped three episodes to set the hook, and then they go to a weekly release. But, and yeah, big spoiler for a almost 20-year-old comic book plotline. Omni-Man murks the entire Guardians lineup. And there's something about watching that scene and how they, it's not, you know, he bip, 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 and everyone's done like the comics. Like they, it takes a couple of minutes for them to, you know, I mean, they all die eventually, but I mean, they last a hell of a lot longer in this series than they did in the comics.
They fucked Omni-Man up.
Yeah.
They're writing from hindsight, and that's a good thing. Because they didn't really show you how dangerous Nolan can be.
Yeah.
And, well, they kind of did, but they showed you him, like, completely steamrolling the original guys. But he caught them by surprise, and that's how you get, that's the difference between this one and that one is, this time he didn't catch them by surprise.
Yeah. And also with that and when he comes out of his coma, like there's a greater sense of time has passed between that, the attack and everything from like Nolan waking up and then Omni-Man speaking at the funeral for the Guardians. And it's in the comic books. I mean, granted it's monthly issues, but there, it just seems like only a few days happens between the attack and the comics. And then the revelation that Omni-Man is, you know, preparing the earth to be subjugated by the Viltrumites.
And
but when
the one thing I have to add is, sorry for interrupting JT, but
that's all good.
The one thing I thought was good was that it showed that the whole Guardians working together, trying to stop Omni-Man, they fucked him up. They beat him into a coma, and Omni-Man killed the Guardians in both medias because he wanted to get rid of all the major threats. If he's able to steamroll them, they aren't exactly a major threat, are they?
Exactly. And like when you talked before about, you know, how some of the subtle changes, like I like how by virtue that we get Sandra Oh voicing Debbie Grayson, like Mark's mom, you know, they also kind of make her be, I forget if she's Vietnamese, like what her ancestry is, but like she's a Canadian American Asian actress, you know, so they kind of make that, they put little elements in the script, you know, to suggest the nationality like that. So Mark's like biracial. And I was like, that's a cool change, kind of updating it a bit. The one thing that I absolutely love is, and this is a nitpicky fanboy thing for me, is he still goes to Reginald Vell Johnson High School and Principal Winslow is voiced by Carl Winslow himself, Reginald Vell Johnson. Which I noticed, that's the first shout out that I noticed in the comic back in the days, and I remember thinking if they ever make a cartoon of this, Carl Winslow needs to voice the principal.
I think that's a good happy accident that they were able to get him in the budget that they had. I agree with that, but it's and the one thing I have to add is there's some people that are making a big deal about the race changes. I see that as a not even a thing, honestly, because there's been lots of race and gender swaps in the secondary and tertiary characters. Honestly, I never cared what nationality Mark was because he's also Voltramite. It's like that, well, in his human side.
Viltramite,
pardon me. That's way more important than, oh, by the way, my ancestors came from this tiny speck of land across an ocean.
To me, it doesn't matter because it's never been an issue in the comic.
Ever. Exactly, exactly.
Like, they never cared about the people, what their races were, the backgrounds. Yeah, I'm going to get somebody commenting like, well, they're all whites and nobody cared. No, it just, nobody gave a shit is the fucking thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, they got, I'm sorry, Red?
He has like Amber. That's one of the people, one of the characters that people are all pissed off about, and she was just a dumb fucking blonde. Who gives a shit if she's a black chick now? Like, she's no big fucking deal.
She's going to be Mark's ex-girlfriend really quickly anyway, so it's not going to matter. Because the running gag throughout the whole of the comic that she was dating him was, for like the first 75% of their dating, she thought he was a drug dealer.
Because of how he's always running off.
And had a pager, yes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he found out, she became like this needy bitch that was like, I don't care if you're like the greatest man on the planet. I just need someone who's here. And
yeah, the most ugly aspects of a comic book girlfriend is like, no, you don't have to go save the world. You have to be here for me.
And it's like Red said, she's a vapid blonde, and it doesn't matter what race they changed into. And that's not even like the most drastic race or age or gender change. Like the shrinking guy in the new Guardians of the Globe was turned into a nerdy chick, and the Green Ghost was turned into a black chick, and Green Ghost was like a white guy.
I don't think they're going to get into that, but I mean, they established before in the comics, before the Guardians, you know, get murked like that, that his powers come from having to like swallow this gem that gives him his abilities, and then he has to regurgitate it to turn back to normal.
Yes, that is true. But my point remains is like they're doing lots of these changes on lots of secondary ancillary characters, and I don't see it as an issue. I don't even think it's an argument worth having. And in some cases, like the shrinking guy turning into a shrinking chick is actually an improvement, because the shrinking guy had like a fucking horrible design, and he was an asshole in the comics, because there's this one issue where there's this mind controller that's mind controlling everybody. The shrinking guy was going to shrink down and get in his head and fuck him up. Mark just floated like 100 feet above him and dropped a rock on the guy's head.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you get into the cast, I love the fact that, I don't know if you guys were aware, and listeners may not be aware, that the original Guardians were all voiced by cast members from The Walking Dead.
I didn't care.
I think that's kind of cool that, I mean, it was a one and done, because none of these characters are, well, none of the characters except the Immortal are coming back. So Russ Marquand, who's the guy who voiced Aquarius, or is it Aquarius or Aquarius? The Fishman Aquaman stand-in, he voiced him. And then there's the Immortal, who's not to Vandal Savage. And I think they even suggested in the comic books that he was Lincoln, because he's got that full-on chin warmer beard.
Yeah, he was Lincoln for sure. And then they even established one of his villains is what's his face, the guy who killed Lincoln,
John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah. But when you look at some of the other cast, the two that I singled out as probably my favorites, besides Steve Young, who was Keith in Voltron: Legendary Defender, and you know J.K. Simmons, who was and always shall be the J. Jonah Jameson voice in my head. You get, where is it? Walton Goggins as Cecil Stedman, the Nick Fury of the Invincible Universe, essentially. And he plays him like very subtly with just this little bit of menace, which is almost a polar opposite of, if you ever saw G.I. Joe Retaliation, he was that very chatty prison warden where they have Cobra Commander and Storm Shadow locked up. He's also on Justified. He was like the main villain through that whole run. I really loved what he did. And Zachary Quinto, like new Spock as Robot. Because he has. Yeah, no, and I love his voice because he has this. He's capable of doing this very flat, even monotone voice, like kind of what he did with Spock, but even more so as Robot, because this guy is, you know, he's a robot and all about the logic and everything like that. I was going to ask you guys, what did you think of Seth Rogen as Alan the Alien in his one scene?
I liked it. He did do a bad job, but Red brought up a very interesting point about that.
Well, my point was, if there's a second, third, or fourth season, are they going to be able to afford Seth Rogen? Because Alan the Alien would probably become a main character in fucking at least the third or fourth season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
The Coalition would play big in the round where the third season would plop in.
Yeah. And also, did you notice Mark Hamill's voice in these episodes?
How can you not notice Mark Hamill? That's Are the, we retarded?
That's the first thing I heard when I heard the tailor talking. I'm like, I actually typed to you guys, is that Mark Hamill? And then I pressed the X-ray button that the Amazon Prime has, and it says Mark Hamill. I'm like, okay then.
Yeah, just the question, right? I wasn't trying to suggest you were mentally deficient or anything. Yeah, I think my I remember seeing in the off mic chat, you said Omni-Man is fucking scary. Now, were you talking about where he went to the alien dimension to Flaxons? Deal with the was it Flaxons? Yeah, like that. Is that what you're talking about? Because I would agree with you on that.
Yes, it's. In the original comic, they didn't actually establish how fucking scary Viltrumites are. You learn that later, way later on.
Yeah.
And that's, and it's a good thing to do, is they're establishing, they're showing the audience, yeah, this guy can wreck the fucking Earth if he wanted to.
There's a great shot that someone pointed out to me, that when you watch Nolan fucking wreck the Flaxes back to the Stone Age, he carves into their planet the letter N.
Okay.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he does a zigzag. N. He's signing his name on the planet while he's fucking them up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just, and also I think what led or added to this, you know, overall scariness, if that's even a word, of that scene was the very heavy use of black and red. You know, it's not just, you know, a normal light source, you know, it's pretty much at night. And yeah, he just, like, without even trying, probably lays waste to this entire alien world.
And for anybody who's looking for the song name is Holy Fuck by, what the fuck, Tom Tom? And you're going to be disappointed when you look up the song, because it is fucking terrible. They use the best chorus from the fucking song, and that's only one out of five choruses. And the song, the original song, has this weird fucking reverb on it, this electronic reverb that they did a damn good job removing from the fucking song.
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
You know, one of the things in the first couple of episodes, like before, it's in the first episode before Mark gets his powers, like how his dad comes back after helping the Guardians, you know, defeat the Mahler twins from assaulting the White House. And they do mention some in one of the episodes, like in the comics, was he was a member of the Guardians. It's not like they say in the show where he was like,
no, he was associate. Never. He was never a member of the Guardians in the comics. He was always
okay.
An associate. He never got that close with them.
Okay, but just that bit where Nolan comes back, and it's something they had in the comics where Nolan and Debbie were, you know, horny for each other 24/7. Mark's like, God, people, wait until I leave the house for college. Like the whole family dynamic. I love that part.
The difference between Nolan and the comics is Nolan worked for Cecil, but in the cartoon, Cecil states that Nolan doesn't officially work for him.
Right.
Yeah. And but, the whole thing about Mark whining about not going to Germany for breakfast with mom and dad, I love that part.
Like, one of the things that I like about this series is how quickly they introduce Cecil. Because that was always on my mind when I first read the comic. Like, you're this big badass fucking SHIELD agency, and you did not. Where the fuck were you in the first part of the comic? Like, you didn't help the Guardians. You didn't show up for fuck all. You just showed up to say, hey, Mark, you're working for us now. Like, okay.
Yeah.
At least now they saw that problem. They saw that fucking plot hole, and they're going, okay, Cecil should be in the fucking beginning, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like, you know, there are certain changes they made to the quote-unquote script from the comics that, you know, Cecil shows up a hell of a lot sooner. And I remember in the comics, like, he would step through, like, a portal door, but here it looks like he actually has powers. Or they just changed that aspect of him teleporting.
He always just teleported everywhere. He never went through doors.
They pretty much established that was the agency can do that.
They made a joke that it says, Cecil's like, you know, it costs us, like, $6 million every time I teleport somewhere, and then he teleports.
Yeah. And, you know, the original comic, of course, because this is early aughts Image, like, there's so many shout-outs to other Image properties in Invincible. Like, the Guardians of the Globe funeral had, like, Savage Dragon there. The Invincible War had one of the Invincibles getting his ass kicked by Spawn. All that sort of shit, but that was back when, like, the, you know, people didn't want a or care about a cohesive, singular, solid universe. So obviously we're not going to get Savage Dragon showing up in Invincible, the animated series, or Spawn cameoing.
Yeah, I mean, it was easier, I guess, when you're publishing the comics, because, you know, in that month between releases, you can, you know, call up Eric Larson. He's like, yo, Eric, can I have Dragon in, like, 3 panels this month? Yeah, sure, Kirkman, go ahead. Just looking at some of the, we haven't seen them in the first 3 episodes. I'm just looking at some of the other Invincible characters based on the voice cast here. Like, eventually we're going to get Oliver Grayson, like, Mark's younger brother. D.A. Sinclair is being voiced by... I don't know who the kid is that voiced Oliver, but D.A. Sinclair is another villain that's going to be voiced by Ezra Miller, like Zack Snyder's Flash. We got... I didn't know that. Jaimon Hansu it voiced the leader of the Flaxen forces.
Like, I don't really want to talk about, like, Mark's brother and stuff, because one of the things that is common with Amazon is they don't give too many projects more than one season. The only two series that have gotten more than one season are The Tick, which was canceled while they were filming the second season, and The Boys. That's it.
The Boys prints money.
Isn't that Jack Ryan show on Amazon? Double check that. Or is that Hulu? No, that's 3 series. The Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan series. That's getting through. Third season's going to be coming out later this year, I think.
Okay, 3 out of like 40 fucking series. All right, you proved your point.
But again, I feel like I should keep the same reaction that I had when watching the original, watching the original trailer of, I want to see it, but I'm not going to get my hopes up that this is going to be great. I'm just going to be interested to see it. And I feel like I'll feel the same way about any future seasons of, if they make it, great, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to be all mad. I'm not going to sign a petition. I'm not going to try to create a hashtag. It is or it isn't.
Yeah. I would love to see this go, let's say 3 seasons. I think that's a fair number for something like this. And if they maintain the quality of these first 3 episodes throughout, that's a plus.
Well, that's the other thing is they did a lot of choosing their battles with the animation in this series. And the fact that, like, some of the shots, animated shots, are just gorgeous. Like, the way that they animate some scenes, like the way that Monster Girl fought Rex was really well animated. And other times, like when the Flaxes invaded, when they could switch to a CGI crowd scene, they did. Again, I understand why they did it. The hand-drawn animation is expensive. They have to choose their battles. It still annoys me.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to when Nolan went to the Flaxton's universe and laying waste. Like, that is absolutely beautiful animation, through the design, the motion, the music, the color choice and all that, but there are some things where it just looks so plain in other shots, and irregardless of the action involved, it's just, you guys could do so much better. But it's little things too, like the scene where Mark first develops his powers, where he's, you know, dragging the two ginormous garbage bags out to the dumpster, and you see little things like him struggling to lift it, or you see the trail of, you know, the grease leaking out of the bags as he's dragging them across the parking lot. It's little things like that that I've appreciated in the series thus far.
Did you realize who the kid was when the bag lands?
I didn't at first, but the
red. It sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it.
Tyrannosaurus.
It's the kid from Jurassic Park?
No, I'm not talking about the fucking actor. I'm talking about the character from the comic.
Well, no, I didn't notice that part. I was thinking about the voice more than anything.
Now, I think that this is actually one of the best things that Red said. Is this is definitely adapting from hindsight, because, like, if you ever read the first issue of the Invisible Comic, you don't really get a sense of Mark being, like,
Superboy.
No, so bored that he's normal, or so upset that he's not like his dad, as much as you do in the cartoon, because in the comics you don't have this scene where Mark's trying to stand up for Amanda and gets his ass kicked. It's basically, you get some exposition, you get some regular time at school, and then he's working his fast food job.
You gotta stop calling her Amanda. Her name's Amber.
Amber, I am so fucking sorry. He's working his fast food job, and he just throws the bag, and he's like, oh, finally. And in the cartoon, when he says finally, you get a sense of, yes, finally, because you watch this whole episode of him just kept on getting dragging down and getting beat and stuff. And now, go ahead.
That was not a yes, finally moment to me.
Okay.
Because one of the things that you see probably about three or four times in the cartoon, they never really established that well in the comic, is that Viltrumites have a berserker rage. And that, to me, was a berserker rage moment.
Which, that's something they never really introduced in the comics until fairly well on in the series. So I think that's...
Because you see Mark lose his temper a few times after he's gotten his powers, and it's not fucking how a normal person would react. He overreacts.
Yeah. And especially with the girl that he met like 10 minutes ago.
And then when he's talking to his dad and he starts fucking getting mad and shit, you see it in Nolan's eyes. Like, Nolan recognizes what this is and instantly calms him down. Doesn't tell him what he's going through.
And the other thing that the cartoon also establishes is there's a Saiyan thing going on when Omni-Man gets like brought all the way back, all the way down to almost dead, and he comes back, he's even stronger.
Yeah, or at least it's implied, but yeah, also I think, you know, it's kind of what they did with Superman going from Superman TAS to the Justice League cartoon, is they, at least in some respect, until he has the whole almost die and come back stronger than before, like, again, with the Guardians fight, because in the comics he's already all powerful, and here he gets fucked up, like you said, Ben. So it's kind of playing with the assumptions that the comic readers, having those who have read the Invincible comics, you know, they're playing with that a little bit. You know, with Omni-Man getting worked, Mark losing his shit way earlier in the story than in the comics. And if I remember correctly, like with the revelation at the end of the third episode that, you know, Robot is behind some of this bullshit that Mark's going with right now. Again, that's something that happens a bit later in the series than...
Oh, the Mulder twins take a while to get here. I think the Mahler twins first show up at the funeral, honestly, in the comics. But I love the fact that the Mahler twins are the first villains we see, because if written properly and voiced properly, there is so much fucking comedic potential gold with them. Yeah. And not only that, they are threatening. You know, they have the right amount of physical strength and intelligence that they can be threatening and also entertaining.
And I think they did capture that. Like, they got Kevin Michael Richardson voices the Mahler twins. And I think he played it just right, just enough gruffness and thuggishness, but also that intelligence. Like, you especially see that with how when they break out of the prison.
And one's pissed off that he didn't get to get the chicken pot pie.
Yeah. And the other one's just childlike, just like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
Honestly, if you're stuck in a prison, chicken pot pie night is probably the best night of the week.
Yeah. Maybe the Salisbury steak, who knows?
Really?
Depends on what you like, I suppose.
And going back to the cast and something adapted and changed from the comics, you have the character Damian Darkblood, who's looking online. He's a nod to Jack Kirby's The Demon, voiced very well by Mr. Clancy Brown. But it seems like he's actually having an impact on the story, like the eventual revelation that Nolan killed the Guardians and, you know, he's not on the up and up. Because in the comics, Damian Darkblood, I remember this pretty well, he's there and he's investigating, but he's so slow and plotting that by the time that he figures it out, Omni-Man's already GTFO'd from planet Earth.
And the secretary's like, well, we figured it out 2 days ago. It was on TV. And the other thing I have to add about that is in the comics, it's like he's like a demon Rorschach, even down to the hum. While in the cartoon, don't tell me that little bit of Hellboy wasn't influencing his design there.
Oh no, with the trench coat and all that, and the face. I just love the whole the Sam Spade, like in the comics and in the animated series. I love the whole Sam Spade aspect with the trench coat and the hat, the low kind of growl in his voice when Clancy Brown does the lines. And even the bit where I don't think they had that in the comic, although it's been a couple years since I've read any Invincible, how the temperature drops like 15 degrees and you see your breath whenever he's in the room. So Cecil's like, that's one scene where Cecil breathes in and out like two or three times and he tells everyone to clear the room so he can have this little meeting with Damien.
Well, to me, I think Cecil knows.
Or he doesn't want.
No, he knows. He just doesn't want anyone else to know.
Or he wants the evidence first.
Well, what can he do with the evidence? We already established that this is a guy who could fucking steamroll nearly anyone on the planet right now. So
that's exactly my idea, is that he knows Omni-Man did it, but he also knows Omni-Man is way too fucking powerful to deal with. And if he were to deal with him right now, he would get his shit pushed in.
So he's playing the long game.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing the let's see if we can figure something out, survive long enough that we can figure something out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where, you know, Mark comes in, because, like, in the comics, he and his dad are going to have that fight before, you know, Nolan takes off. I'm just, like, again, looking just at the voice cast here. They got so many other, you know, Invincible characters. I kind of hope, like, maybe in the second or third season we'll have an episode where the Astounding Wolfman shows up, because that was a spin-off title from Invincible that I read, and I love the fact a superhero werewolf, what's not to like?
Yeah, there's a reason why. Go ahead,
it's
Red.
Not going to be happening because it's another product from Image, just like Science Dog. They had to change to Science Dog because they did Science Dog comics in Image.
Yeah. It's why we won't have Savage Dragon showing up in a cameo or Spawn showing up in a cameo. Image is great in the fact that they let the creators own the rights to what they publish, But also that means we don't get little tidbits like that in anything that's adapted from it, because you have to basically track down the rights to everything because the creator owns the rights. Like if there's a, and you have to keep in mind that in the late aughts, early teens, there was a gold rush of movie studios buying movie rights to nearly every semi-successful comic book. It got so bad that they were buying movie rights to web comics. A great example of this is Kaufman, D. Kaufman, was this webcomic artist who did this webcomic called Hero by Night, and he sold the movie rights for the Hero by Night for a ludicrous amount of money. And are they making a Hero by Night movie? No. So, but...
It could work with the Wolfman, because Kirkman owns that character. It's his creation, and it's set in the Invincible universe. So we could have one episode.
He also owns Science Dog.
Yeah, and they had a crossover with Marvel. I'm just saying, Wolfman, it would be nice. What, it's a possibility,
he could have sold the movie rights for like a couple thousand dollars in the early
aughts. I'm just saying it would be nice, and I think it's a possibility. That's all.
All right. I don't think it's possible because, like I said, movie studios were paying insane amounts to the point where these comic creators were like, you're paying me $2 million for a movie you might not even make? Sold! They didn't care. They just want to make comics. But anyways, yeah, there's lots of things that spun off from Invincible. Like, Invincible had so many spin-off titles, like Invincible Universe, etc. We're not going to see all of that. We're going to see the core characters we see. There's not going to be any spin-off cartoons from this. We're going to be lucky to get a season 2. And I say this loving the series. This is just the reality of what's going on. I can't wait to see the new episodes as they come. I turn my subscriptions on and off to most streaming services. The only one that I keep on is Amazon, because I have an Amazon Prime membership, so I can get that free delivery for anything from water to ramen to my door whenever I want. So it's like bonus, I get free shipping. Bonus, I get to watch Invincible.
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of alternate ways of viewing this series.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that, do we?
No, we don't. Well, I actually have an Amazon Prime membership, so, you know, turned it on for this, and once the series is done, I'll turn it off until the next one. But, yeah, no, I look forward to the next few episodes. Like I said, there's characters like Battle Beast, who's like this big buff lion, white lion looking dude who like comes to Earth just looking for a fight. He's going to be voiced by Michael Dorn, everyone's favorite Klingon Worf.
Oh, the fucking, those lion warriors are fucking something else. I mean, they're fucking almost as strong as Voltramites.
I just enjoy the design and him showing up. I'm going to kick your ass. And I love one note characters like that. And we didn't have it in the first couple episodes, especially where Mark's getting beat up. Because I remember when that happened in the comics, Principal Winslow was there like that. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting Carl Winslow to voice his character. And I'm honestly, with the voice work thus far, and you feel that kind of genuine emotion between Mark, Debbie, and Nolan, like when that revelation comes, that's going to be a bit of a gut punch for a few people, and I can't wait to see how they deal with that. So, and I don't know, anything else you want to add, Red?
Not offhand, no.
No, like I said, there is the possibility Wolfman might show up, and there are so many. If Wolfman showed up, because it is tied directly in there, that, and I agree with what you said, Ben. There are so many spinoffs from the Invincible comics. You have the Guardians title, Image universe is like you got Batman and Detective Comics. That's how I've always saw that comic. It just dealt with all the other characters. You had Brit, Tech Jacket. What was the Fire Breather? Was the one where the kid, his mom's human, and his dad's like this ancient dragon. You know, so there's so many things.
That one wasn't actually a spinoff of Invincible.
Wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
It was somebody was making their own comic in the crossover with Invincible.
Okay. Did they make like a Cartoon Network movie of that or something?
Yes. It was terrible. Back in... We don't speak of it.
Well, we don't speak about a lot of things, don't we, Red? But yeah, no, I like I said, of all the spinoffs, I just, if any other character shows up, Wolfman, I'm good with one episode. I don't expect it to get its own spinoff series or have a mini story arc or anything like that. But that's the great thing about the Invincible universe as a whole. I mean, now it's concluded because, you know, the title's been done for like, what, 5-6 years?
Not 5-6 years. It's been sooner than that. I think it's been like 3 years.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is just like there is a wealth of characters and potential that however long the animated series goes on, I hope even if we get like a fraction of that, I'm going to be happy because that's how much I love these comics. And I am willing to extend a lot of that love, however cautiously, to the animated series. So
the other thing I want to add is, I actually thought that the character designs were very interesting because, when I think of Invincible, I think of a very specific art style, even though they had 5 to 6 artists that worked on the entire run. Of course, everyone knows Corey Walker, who technically is co-creator and also the original artist for the original run, the original couple of issues that that ran. But most people who think of Invincible now or look at Invincible now think of the artist that finished the book. I'm talking about
Ryan Ottley,
yes. Their styles are different, but they're oddly complementary.
Yeah.
And the cartoon is going more Ottley than Walker.
Yeah. No, Walker, I remember his art being not loose, but it had this kind of wire thin, like, inking and that. Like, it didn't have that solid feeling that Ottley's art had.
Walker's art is it's very stark and it calls to a very specific kind of coloring style, where the majority of accents and accents and shapes are done with colors more so than the inks, because the inks are almost all the same width, all the same width. It's not a bad style. In fact, there's parts of it that I genuinely love, but
the style does change up. Like Corey Walker started Invincible, and he actually finished the last few comics. And there's a huge difference between the two art styles. And that's because Corey Walker didn't just quit Invincible. Like, he went to work for Marvel after that.
Well, that's the weirdest thing, is the last issue has pages done by Ottley and pages done by Walker, and I'm looking at it now and I'm trying to find the difference.
Well, I mean, the art styles evolved. Like, I remember what Ottley's art was like towards the end of Invincible, and then you look at his work now, like, he's currently the artist on Amazing Spider-Man for Marvel, and well, he's the main artist, although he hasn't done all the way through, but you can see the difference. Like, Ottley had, when he was doing Invincible, had this very solid, almost kind of animated feel. I kind of liken it to kind of like how Dave Cockrum's art had that very, you know, animated feel to, with the color and everything, which is, again, something we haven't really mentioned, both in the comic and the animated series. Like, graphically violent, but you kind of accept it a little bit more because of the colorful, like, the colors and the visuals involved. You know, it's graphic, yes, but it's not gross graphic.
It's gross graphic. There's a fucking moment where a dude steps on an entire fucking body.
I mean, like, it's not like gross graphic, like, say, in a horror movie where you got the little bits. Like, it's not as bad, but maybe it's because it's a comic turned into a cartoon or something. I'm just saying that's something that a lot of people seem to have liked, that I liked over the years, is, you know, despite the graphic nature, you know, it's that colors that makes it a little more, it makes it easier to take it in.
Now, there's one thing that is very signature of Ryan Ottley. It's going to sound like I'm picking on the guy, but I'm not, because I love his art. But there's a way he does, like, the mouth whenever a character scowls that looks weird to me.
Looks like they're biting their lip or something. I kind of thought that, too.
Yeah. I just want to point that out, but, yeah, it's... Invincible has, like, an art style that I think, if I had to use one word to describe something that's consistent from Walker to Ottley, and this is going to be an understatement of the century because there's so much more going on, but I would have to say angles, sharp angles, is something I think of when I think of the art Invincible.
Yeah. Now, given all the events in the Invincible comic, you know, however long the series goes, is there any particular moment or storyline you guys want to see, or you'll just, you know, see if it comes down the road?
There's a lot I want to see. Like, fuck, I want to see fucking Alan the Alien and Nolan breaking out of the Vultramite prison and becoming buddies. Yeah.
I kind of hope, like, say, maybe
I don't know if we're going to get there, but I want to see it.
Yeah. I hope we get here, like, maybe in the third season, you bring in the villain of Angstrom Levy, and maybe we get, like, the... Because one of the things I love in the comics, you had the Invincible War, where, like, yes, Angstrom Levy goes to the alternate universe and gets the evil Invincibles, and it's, like, a one-and-done in the comics, so maybe we could do that in a one-and-done episode.
No. Yeah, like... There's things they're cutting out from the comics. And in my opinion, the Invincible War is one of the first things I would cut out of the script.
It's a fun idea.
And in fact, I would probably cut Armstrong Levy straight out of the whole fucking script.
He is a
really good character. He never mounts to anything. He doesn't accomplish anything. He's just there going, "Mwah-ha, I hate Invincible. You're so bad. You made my brain giant."
Okay. He did that to himself.
He did do that to himself. It's like Invincible even says, "Dude, that was all you. I just showed up. And I'm trying to stop the Mahler twins, and you're going around fucking around with a machine." And the other thing with that character is his son shows up in the last fucking issue of Invincible, the comic. Like, I'm going to get revenge on the guy who fucked with my dad. And what happened? Nothing. Fucking nothing.
Nothing happens because it's the last issue.
Yeah.
I think they're establishing that he becomes Markey's enemy.
But they didn't show it. It's like, that's a waste of panel.
Well, they didn't show much of what happens on Earth. They didn't show the most they showed is Markey getting his own Invincible comic and or costume, and that's it.
And there's a much better story in that comic about Terra. Because you had this whole story about Terra growing up and you know, becoming a child to a teenager to an adult, and I actually like Terra's story a lot more than Markey's story, because Markey's story telegraphed itself way fucking early and you're like, "Oh, I know where this is going." But Terra's story was interesting because hers went completely in a different direction, and I know people are like, "Who the fuck is Markey? Who the fuck is Terra?" Read the comic. I know that's cruel to say, but let's go back to the cartoon because we're jumping way.
I'm gonna also say you're not gonna like Markey once you find out how he is created.
Not Markey's fault, but it's Markey. But what is Markey's fault is how he's a petulant brat. Anyways, moving forward, the cartoon's good. It's very good, and I can't wait to watch the rest of season one. see how they change things, because as Red said, writing from hindsight is one of the greatest gifts this has, because it's turning what is a was a very competent comic done by Image in the early aughts into something that's more refined, more polished. I can't wait to see what they do if they actually go forward and do the whole thing with Robot and Monster Girl. Because Monster Girl actually in the comics gets a lot more interesting.
Yeah. And some really, you know, icky things with Mark and the Viltrumites later on. Except the quality overall is just solid, and I'm just in for the ride, whatever comes. It's not much more that I can say that I haven't already.
Yeah.
Is there any of the villains that you hope makes an appearance? Because we got, like, the Doc Seismic in that one episode, and I fucking love that bit.
Doc Seismic was hilarious, but I also just had to say that I love Invincible. I think Invincible is one of my favorite comics of all time. But other than, like, three villains, a lot of Mark's villains fucking suck or are ridiculous.
Are they just gags to begin with?
Yes.
I hope Dinosaurus shows up.
Oh, yes. Well, we already started seeing him show up. There's this one guy whose whole thing is, in the comics, his whole thing is he hates Invincible because, like, his dad died in collateral damage in an event that's probably going to happen in the next couple episodes. And so he, like, gets these powers to where it's like he, I don't know, he generates energy or something. And so he sets it up to where Invincible is trying to rescue hostages, which are his own wife and kid. And they agree to this shit. And in his own collateral damage, this asshole kills his wife and kid. And still blames Invincible for it, this asshole. It's like, this guy was supposed to be, like, I'm like, this guy's just an asshole. And yeah, he keeps showing up.
Dinosaurus is definitely one I'd like to see. Like I said, Battle Beast. And we see Mark fight Titan when he goes out in his prototype suit there with the little bandana.
I want to see if they do with Titan in the comics like they did in the comics, because Titan in the comics actually has a really, really nice little bit of a double cross story there that I thought was pretty clever.
And Virtue of Titan, I kind of hope we see his boss, Machine Head. Also, Titan's voiced by Mahershala Ali, like the forthcoming Blade from the MCU, which I thought
was canceled. That...
Sure.
It was. Like, it would... What do you want me to say? There is no Blade. There is no forthcoming Blade.
He might show up as a cameo in a movie they already filmed a cameo in. That's all we're going to get. But anyways, I think we have a consensus of everyone in the room agreeing. We recommend Invincible the comic and Invincible the cartoon, correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. Like, pretty much the entire series, except for the reboot era, is highly recommended by me. Every time I reread it, I skip the reboot issues because I fucking hate them. Any final thoughts, guys?
I look forward to everything that's coming down the pike with this series, and yeah, I would really like a Wolfman appearance. Whether or not it happens, but yeah, just watch the series, folks. You won't be disappointed.
Red?
If I had one wish, Wolfman will never show up.
Why is it anytime I like a character that ends in man, you're against it?
Jesus Christ, JT, I'm joking. Fuck, I'm trying to make the audience laugh.
And I was said that as a joke. Like, pay attention to what I'm saying. I was even smiling when I said it.
part of a joke is you got to let the joke run. You can't just come up and chop its legs off.
I didn't chop its leg off. I made the joke and you jumped all over it. Anyway.
You bit it in the ankle, JT.
I did not bite it in the ankle.
I wouldn't say completely chop it off, but you did nip at the ankle pretty hard there. You drew some blood.
Yeah. Whatever.
He drew first blood. Anyways, watch Invincible. This is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.